Kevin, I have a hot take.
Hot take. Coming in hot.
Hot take. You said this movie makes you hate Run, Lola, Run. This movie made me question if Run, Lola, Run was ever that good to begin with.
Agreed.
So, and then thinking back, I have only watched Run, Lola, Run, I think twice. Once on my own and once with a date hangout situation, you know?
I think I may have only seen it once or twice as well.
Yeah, it's just, it's not a movie you view twice. And, I mean, it was good in the 90s, but this is 2022.
Here's the thing.
And we're getting...
That's perfectly fair because Run, Lola, Run, it's like, what, 98 German film. It's...
Yeah.
A product of its time, right? With the MTV, air quotes, as I like to say, kind of cuts, mm-hmm. these smash cuts, the placement of a camera, the cinematography, even the use of music. It's very stylized, and it's almost a dated way of doing movies in a way.
Yeah, because it influenced so much.
Exactly, and that was kind of, I mean, I think everyone can debate on which movie really made it popular. For me, it was that movie. I think we probably both saw it at the same time, around the same time. And watching this movie, I was like, wow. There's some things I like about it, but overall, I don't know if it works anymore in this. And today, I don't know if it felt tired when I was watching it.
Well, the thing that the big takeaway I had on this was, and I'm going to finish my thought real quick in the beginning, was like, you know, it's 2022 and we're making the same movie as it's like a 30-year-old movie now.
Well, we always do that. We can't wait to remake, reboot, reread.
But it's just like and that's not necessarily like, and I don't, I'm over that. I'm over the whole like, you can't remake it. You can't do mm-hmm. like whatever. Like, that's not stopping anyone. So I'm not here to try to be like, don't do remakes, whatever. But if you are going to remake something or make something inspired by it and get kind of the permission to do such, then you might want to get another visionary filmmaker that can elevate that story once again, and instead of just kind of copying what they saw.
Yeah, like improve on it, right? Or
make it groundbreaking once again, where it's just like another audience wants to imitate, copy, and, you know, do it all themselves too. So this was not it at all. I mean, the song at the end was probably my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into it. Well, you know what? Let's just movie.
It is Loop Lapita, 2022 film, 2 hours and 11 minutes. coming via the Netflix, so there's no rating, but I'm going to give it a PG-13 at best.
Yeah.
Just for people.
Drug use, a little bit of violence, but almost comical violence.
Yeah, it's very
almost
comical.
Almost comic mischief.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Director Akash Bhatia. He's also one of the writers, along with Punit Chadha and Vinay Chawla. I think I did all right on that.
Pretty good.
It is starring a lot of motherfuckers.
I guess technically it's a TVMA rating.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Okay, well, they fucking put these credits like an asshole. So Tapsee Pannu as Savi is our main go-to, and Tahir Raj Bashin as Satya. So those are your two mains on this. It's And it is...
It's a love story, everyone.
it's a love story. And it is, as it instantly tells you, inspired by Run, Lola, Run.
Does it say that? Even
give... Yes. There is a... you might have missed it in the beginning, but there's actually two scenes, or two pre-credit rolls. One that says, this is a work of fiction, we respect all religions, and the butterflies are CG.
So don't at me, bro. And then this,
yeah, I was just like, what's up with these butterflies? What the
fuck? I didn't see the Run Lola Run part. I saw the homage to it at the end, or the wink, and I was like, oh. Well,
yeah, oh, the fucking heavy-handed bullshit.
When I saw that, I was like,
that said Run Lola Run on the fucking film.
Yeah,
I was like, there you go. No, it says that it is inspired by Run Lola Run by Tom Twelliker, so... Visionary Tom Twelliker, Run Lola Run. What's he done since? I don't fucking care.
Hey, man, he had his vision.
Yeah, he had his vision. He did. He did it. Yeah, no, it straight up says, like, this is inspired by. And I do believe, because I was looking it up, and there was a lot of pre-news before it actually was even in production, that it was an official Hindi remake. So
Well, that mean I didn't. Okay, so that was a surprise to me, because I saw, when I saw the end, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're like, oh, you're like not even hiding it now. Yeah, you just... okay. No, they were, yeah, okay. And then the actress had some kind words of support, because why would she come out and be like, hey, fuck you, you fucking ruined my shit, you know, to the cast and crew when it came out, and I was like, yeah, whatever, I didn't even... bothered to see what she said. But I mean what is she gonna be like, oh, fuck this movie, it made my career, and I mean, those Jason Bourne movies did me all right, and you know what, I don't even really give a fuck, I'm just like a mom now or something. So but that said, it is Run Lola Run reimagined, reset in India.
You would say it's running in tandem.
Yeah.
Follow the rules.
Yeah.
Running, I guess, parallel. So.
And, I mean, the opening is, like, I don't remember the opening of Run Lola Run, but I remember it's a harsh opening as well. And I think this was like, we can do harsher. It's like, whoa, God damn. Do you need to, though? Do you need to? I think we just start in the bathroom with it's like spinning around and shit.
Yeah.
And then we go, like, to the track and field thing.
Oh, the animation of her being a runner. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, India has some talented artists. Could we not find any of them for this movie? Like, what is this gross shit I'm looking at? Yeah, like, nah, man, it was real gross.
It was probably something you get, like, out of a commercial.
Yeah, like a bad commercial, like a local car commercial.
Wow.
Run on down to get your car. Mazdas. I think we sponsored this movie. Probably. Oh, all the phones were OnePlus. Well, at least the two main characters were. I think I had a Samsung. I point that out because there was a big, like, brand sponsorship thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but we begin in this bathroom. We do this track and field animation where... our main character, I'm going to butcher her name over, Savi, is doing the hurdles. She's winning big, and then she misses, her shoes untied, and she
blows her knee out of her knee. Yeah, like, patella, just knee, everything explodes.
Fucking gone. Like, just Superman roasted her fucking knee from the inside, and she was just like,
dad's like, no.
Dad was just like, I invested so much money in this.
Fuck.
Might have even sold the rights to my gym because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he get $5 million from to buy back?
Dude, apparently,
why was that gym worth $5 million?
It literally was 5 seconds for being condemned.
Yeah, I mean, granted, the other areas they showed us in that same neighborhood looked the same. So,
true, but, like, true.
Still. That's a lot of money for a shitty gym that had like 7 regulars. So, and I don't know what that rope training was, but
that's where you duck and weave. You Duck and Bob.
So why were they doing sparring practice?
Well, it was, I don't know, maybe it was set up for the next day. I don't know the schedule of the gym, dude. Like, I know what those ropes are for, though.
Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, yeah, so then she's in the hospital about to jump off the roof to commit suicide. Because
that's it. That was her life, man. You're never going to run again.
She's never going to get the gold, so why even bother?
Fuck it.
And Satya comes up to smoke. He's got he's always got a bum lighter, this guy, and he rarely puts a cigarette correctly into his mouth. So he sees her about to jump. He goes to stare. He stops her. And just like a lot of awkward dialogue later, they're moving in with each other, and we're getting this like montage of their life.
Yeah, they basically had the cute meat or something.
Yeah.
The very meat cute.
Say, thinking about it and everything. She was walking pretty fine without those crutches. I was like, your knee's gone. You need those. Go get them.
He just said, hey, man, fuck that noise, YOLO. And she was like, yeah, okay.
She like, I was trying to say YOLO. You stopped me from YOLOing.
I'd like to say in their moment, there was kind of the realization that she can kind of let all this stress go and kind of be a bum like him and just kind of step away from the life of this pressure and stress of performing at a high level all the time. Which
is pretty common with professional athletes after they go through their career. They just kind of bum around because it's like
the pressure of the career, her family, the dad's
expectations. They did like 40 years of work in, 10 years. So,
yeah. Her as a character, I was fine with that. I was fine with her just kind of giving up, and he just kind of rolled out a red carpet of just, hey, you want to be a fucking turd in society like me? I'll show you how it's done.
Yeah, let's go squat in this house, kind of. I mean, it has someone else's pictures on it, but, or whatever, who knows. Well. And so we just see a lot of scenes of them being happy and mad, fighting and everything. She's talking about his gambler smile.
Because he is a bad gambler, everyone. He just can't win one.
Why would you cheat at cards in the same casino/not casino over and over? Well, like, what the fuck is that? I just get beat up and they let me come back, but, whatever.
And that's the thing. I don't want to run parallel with Run Lola, but it's this. He's an idiot. He's a fool. He's a beyond an idiot to his own detriment. It was because I felt like his character understood how dumb he was, but he couldn't help himself. But no one addressed that problem on how he would portray being that stupid. And she did seem sensible more than almost every, because she was always constantly being upset by him. But you're supposed to make like he can always just be charismatic and just win her over and talk her off the quote unquote ledge of the relationship and just win her back over. But like, where is their life and goals progressing? You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You want to take a mental vacation and bum around, but this guy's showing back home beat up at the beat his ass. And I'm surprised they haven't just put a bullet in his head
multiple times.
Yeah. I just felt like that was just, when is enough enough for her? I get it. She wants to disconnect, but still this responsibility thing's ingrained in her where she's being a caretaker for this guy, this older dude, to kind of get her boyfriend off of the gambling. And he's still working for a mob boss that runs this like food, this restaurant.
Yeah. And that's kind of where our story leads us, is that she's in the bathroom taking a pregnancy test that's come out baby on board. Right after she's finished a line of coke.
Yeah, baby's gonna be a superstar.
baby might not make it. And she gets a call from the boyfriend. His name I can never remember. It's Satya.
Well, it's the script writing 101 no-no of having your two main characters with the same starting letter and name. They don't I've always heard notes about that where they don't like that. Don't have multiple characters with the same, like, don't have a Steve and a Susie as your two main protagonists, or you know what I mean? They don't it's kind of frowned upon. So when I read that, I was like, ah,
what? Yeah, and I get that they were just like, eh, we're just being more traditional with our names and everything like that.
Which is fine, but it's just kind of, I've always heard it's a faux pas, but whatever. You got the movie made. I don't got nothing made, so do what you got to do.
And, yeah, so Satya, he's called and he's like, we're fucked. And she's like, I agree because of the baby. And he's like, no, I lost 5 million monies.
5 million?
5 million. And we are going to do this joke. We're going to blow past the rule of three and do it every time. We're even going to switch it up. And sometimes not even, doesn't even have to be about the money. We're going to do the joke. Mm-hmm. But they repeat it to each other 6 to 8 to 9 to 12 times.
So that was another thing that kind of bothered me. Is this movie, it plays everything very humorous. It's very goofy.
But not goofy enough.
I think it's too goofy. And it slows the movie down. It takes away a lot of the tension. But it's just, I don't mind it. It can be goofy. But man, they play every scene for a laugh. They're trying every single time a character's on screen. They're trying to just do something waka waka or kind of like.
I do think I agree with everything you're saying. That's played for comedy, everything, and it slows it down. It's just none of it's actually funny. Like,
no, that's the thing. So,
like the smile, the quick smiles was probably the only thing that I was like, okay, that was good. But it didn't make me go, ha ha ha, fuck yeah, hilarious. You know, like when they just do the like dry face and then like quick smile, dry face, and you're just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It could be a cultural thing, it could be a style of comedy thing, a regional thing, whatever. How you absorb? I don't even really laugh at Western comedies that much. So, but this came off a little camp, which is fine. But tonally, I feel like it's trying to do more serious, stressful moments to build up tension because it's a beat the clock, right?
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, like Run Lola Run's not funny. Run Lola Run's intense, you know. So if you're basing this off of that, pick which a is lane.
Fine. Yeah, it's your own interpretation.
Comedy.
No, I think they wanted it to be it's more comedy leaning towards humor than serious or I don't know, dramatic, I should say. I mean, but it has moments, it has character moments where it's played straight until they're tired of doing that. Like she has a conversation with her father and his orientation and stuff, like he has a new boyfriend and mom's gone, and that's played straight. That's played pretty straight up. Like
yeah. And that's why I feel the comedy doesn't work, you know?
Like, right.
It breaks that rule of, like, if this character's serious, this character's serious. And if this character's goofy, this character's goofy. But it flips back and forth on a lot of these characters of goofy, serious, goofy, serious. Like, the only two, the sons are the only two that, like, are consistently goofy. So.
I will say, Savi, she doesn't, I can't think of a time where she's goofy.
I mean, she's not, but. No, I mean, that's the thing is, like, she's not, she has levels of seriousness, though, where it's like, why would she stop to kick a mirror off of a car, you know?
That could be frustration, right? Where she kicks Robert's car for not taking him, or because she's dismissed in her time of need and where she's running intense, and she knows she can't go further. I mean, this is literally the next scene that happens once she finds out.
Actually.
Or sorry, Jacob. And she kicks the rearview mirror off of his car because she's frustrated, because she's the only one that's playing this, you know, for real. Yeah. And I guess he's pretty serious as well. He doesn't be, it's just, I don't know. I guess, yeah, it's whatever.
I don't know. Yeah. So to set it up, the premise essentially of the entire movie, in case someone hasn't seen Run Lola Run. He needs to either get the $5 million back or replace the $5 million. So, he's searching for the money while she's looking for replacement money. He explains that he lost them. Originally, he was going to go try to gamble the money and make some of his own money. And she was like, oh, my God, you didn't. And he's like, no. Instead, he got high. The police came onto the bus, and he has to do this whole, like, I don't know, Charlie Chaplin fucking run around the bus thing.
Chaplin. Like Pink Panther shit.
Yeah. And the guy that he left the money with or next near him takes it and he's got the money. He's got the money.
But I hate that scene because it's just the boyfriend being a dumb dildo.
Yeah, he's not even like, I mean, and the cops are so waka waka too. I mean, like literally you could have just put the
Benny Hill
chase music. Yeah, exactly. And it would have fit perfectly. We're just like, yep. Way too long. And then so she darts out. She's running. She's going to go see her dad and, kind of set up our story thread. And meanwhile, he plans to rob a jewelry store that he's been to before and propose to her in, because that's a smart move. She goes to see her dad. The dad kind of is just like, your boyfriend sucks. And she gets pissed when she sees his boyfriend wearing dead mom's ring. Yeah. And so she flips him off and runs away after being told happy birthday at some point. And it takes an hour to go through this first storyline. Like, she's running from a cop. We meet the cat, like I said, we meet the cab driver who's pining over the woman that's set to get married to someone else that day. Apparently, like, you can just really be on the fence leading up to a wedding in a movie, at least.
Well, then that culture, it could be arranged. So, and then that's what I...
Yeah, I mean, it seems like an agreement. Yeah, well, not so much arranged, but he definitely was like, thank you for agreeing to marry me,
Yeah, like, that's like their family's had probably... to do with it. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't done on the basis of love as well, I understand.
Yeah, so... she ends up at the wedding at some point as well. And it just kind of this first hour is just laying the ground floor of all the different set pieces we're going to end up seeing. Eventually, everyone ends up at the jewelry store. She and the boyfriend managed to rob it successfully. The sons of the jewelry store owner are also trying to rob it, but they're robbing it with a fake gun. And they're trying not to say anything so that their father doesn't recognize them. And they do manage to get away, but then the sons catch up to them and are like, give us the money. And they're just like, no, fuck off. No, we're not going to do it. And then the dad shows up and kills the boyfriend. So, and then we
do it again.
I mean, and here's the thing. This is the only scenes I liked. Aside from like when she's laying on, I did enjoy when she's like holding him on the ground and it like just kind of like, I don't know what to call it, like, clock flips through all the different times they were laying together in bed and stuff. Yeah. I thought that was actually really good. And I think that is actually, again, something from Run Lola Run, if memory serves correct. But it did work in those particular scenes.
Like, the thing with the movie, man, like, I like the look of the movie. I think it looks great. I think it's shot very well. Like,
yeah,
the cinematography, the camera placement, it creates a great, like, kind of like frenetic, and I guess the phrase is frenetic or kinetic energy that kind of makes the movie go faster than it would visually. But there's so many weird stop and starts with it. I think it loses the sense of urgency throughout when the way it's shot and the way it looks and the way it moves along. I think it's kind of gets in its own way a little bit. And I think it's just like a pacing issue. I mean, the movie's like, it's too long.
Yeah, it's way... I mean, and that's why I actually paused the movie after the first loop, because I was like, how long did this take? And I was like, okay, an hour of our 2-hour movie? That's too much. We didn't need that, yeah. Because it's just like, now you're deflating whatever else comes after it.
Right.
And I really feel like, especially the stuff with the cop, like the extra character cop, unnecessary to the entire movie.
I would say even the sons, the sons,
yeah, the
kind
sons
of re-rob the dad doing like an inside job. Like,
they have so much screen time, and they're not relevant or even really useful to the story outside of maybe 30 seconds of dialogue one time. You know, yeah. and they have minutes upon minutes of screen time together. Mm-hmm. Just ridiculous amounts of banter between the two of them.
That's what I was like, is this like a comedy duo out there? And everyone was just like, oh shit, they're in it.
Yeah. I mean, like I didn't even laugh when the guy was like, I mean, I'll probably laugh now because I'm repeating it. When he was just like, no, you're not the adopted one. He's the adopted one. And he was the one he was going to try to save with the gun. Was or like, he's starting to kill one of them. Yeah. He's like, I'll kill myself. And he's just like, okay, go ahead. I love money. And he's like, I always knew I was adopted, but that confirms it. He's like, ah, actually, you're not the adopted one. And he's still going to let him kill himself.
So, was the mob boss going to fuck that turkey?
I'm pretty sure he was definitely going to fuck that turkey, Kevin. I mean, he too was also, because like in Run a Little Run, we never saw who the gangster was that was going to kill him. It was completely irrelevant. You know, you just knew he worked for someone. If he didn't get back, he's dead. That's easy to establish. I don't need to see like that whole kitchen scene. Oh, he's like, this is James. I'm going to fuck this turkey later. And you're just like,
it's a legitimate turkey. It's a turkey that's being basted. And he's like, you have this amount of time to get the job done. And he cranks a timer.
He was rubbing. Also, that was not enough time to cook a turkey that size.
Like, well, it looked like it was already cooked. Like he's going to do something. Whatever.
No, he was still seasoning it, man. He was rubbing the seasoning inside and stuff.
Because the camera was inside the turkey. And then like his...
That was fake.
His pelvis was lined up with that, and then it showed another. I was like, wow, is he going to...
No, he kisses it at the end.
Well, I know. But this is in the beginning. He's
like, yeah, no, the way he was rubbing the fucking drumstick, I was like, dude, stop jerking off that turkey. What the hell's wrong with you?
He's like, maybe you should start.
This is why this is TVMA right here.
I think that turkey scene did it.
Yeah, like just completely around. And then when he was like, guns, and I was like, oh my God, speed up these fucking cuts. Do the thing where you put them all on the screen in one shot rather than me watch this same shitty scene of everyone slowly pulling a gun out of their hiding spot, one of which is mostly food that people are going to eat. So that's disgusting. So
it had, at times it was a very comic book feel of like the presentation. And I was like, okay. But it's the time we're spending on those steps, you know what I mean? Like this needs to be like 35 minutes shorter of a movie.
for sure. Because I mean, just meeting the boss and everything. Like the boss is irrelevant. The sons are irrelevant. I mean, honestly, even the dad, like.
The dad's irrelevant. The cops are irrelevant.
Yeah, like it's just not necessary. Like we don't even need to check in on. Like we could check in on the guy with the bag more, in my honest opinion, than we actually do.
I mean, in all honesty, to me, I think the cab driver and the bride, that those characters were irrelevant. The bride does a fucking monologue, dude. She starts pacing back and forth and cutting a monologue. I'm like,
that felt like an added scene because like you could tell no one else was in that fucking shot with her at all. So I was like, why are you cutting this fucking promo right now, you think?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we've gotten through our first loop, an hour of the movie down. We've met every single possible character that we could ever meet. And we begin our second loop, which... She realizes she's kind of in a loop, but she doesn't do that much different.
It's more of like oh man, am I in a loop? Like this flower pot falls. I got the same result. He's going to call. I think something's going on. Like this kind of epiphany there. Right. And then she was like, oh no, it's really happening again. Let me do some cocaine. I'm out of here.
Yeah. She's like, fuck it. I got to snort up real fast.
Gets hit by a car. I don't give a fuck.
Like that they kept using that same footage up until she gets hit by the car. But I was just like, really? We couldn't like done a couple different shots on this or something? Like
it needed to be different shots and you just slam it. Just like slam cuts or something. You know what I mean? Just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, because
so the audience gets it, you know.
Because in Run Lola Run, I do remember this very clearly. As each loop went, that opening montage of her running got shorter and shorter and shorter. So by the time you're on the third one, it's like boom, 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 and they're like, fuck it, use that for the poster and cover, done. So but yeah, so now she gets hit by a car. She is like, fuck you, I'm not paying for your stupid Mercedes. Learn how to drive, you fucking asshole. Kicks him in the nuts, runs away. Again, our cop, our unnecessary cop, was just like, hey, just kick a man in the nuts after you get hit by a car. Yeah. And he takes her into the taxi with the guy that doesn't want to drive his taxi that day.
Because he's just staring at this wedding invitation that he's not invited to.
Why would he have gotten a wedding invitation? Like, that just screams show up and graduate, or be the graduate.
Graduate
me to fucking marriage. But, and then the cop puts a gun on the fucking taxi driver.
He talks with this guy, and then her phone vibrates. He's like, what the fuck is that? I was like, dude, where are you right now? Are you high?
Dude, he was like fucking blown away by the price of fish and shit. He was like, four fucking my money dollars? I don't remember what currency
he used. No, sir. Four his dollars.
He was just like, fucking for a fish? He's like, damn, that's crazy.
Oh, I feel like some nuts are being kicked. I gotta go.
Yeah. And so then this taxi driver, I don't know what's going on. He is just like, apparently this road is a free for all, because at first I thought he was just passing illegally.
Gran Turismo just came out.
But then there was other cars driving towards him when he was in the right side lane too. And then also the left, and then also going the same way. And I was just like, listen, I don't know.
I've seen enough episodes of Amazing Race. It gets crazy out there with the traffic.
Yeah, I mean, I just said, fuck it, you know, it's a small road. He's got to go fast.
He's like, remember Ronin when they go down the tunnel in the opposite direction? Fucking sick. I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
Eventually, they hit the bus that her boyfriend was looking for, and she leaves everyone for dead. Just the cop, the taxi driver.
I would have, too. I'm not going to lie.
She takes the gun. We do some phone footage shots for some fucking reason to show that people are filming this. Completely useless, doesn't do anything. And we are off to the wedding again, where now she busts in on the bride. Still have no idea why she keeps ending up at this wedding for a second time in a row.
And the way she was holding that gun, I was like, someone should have taught her how to hold a gun. Yeah. And she had no trigger discipline, man. Her finger was on that trigger. I was like, you are dangerous.
Well, as we saw later on, the safety was on the whole time. So,
yeah. You
know, I mean, she wasn't.
Thank God.
Yeah, she wasn't going to blast anyone. She wasn't going to.
No blow blast today.
She wasn't going to be Alec Baldwin, if you catch my drift.
Yikes.
I had to. Someone had to. Anyway.
Someone had to.
Oh, whatever, jokes. Never too soon. Captain, never too soon. He was like, whoa, a bit too soon now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Jesus.
Fucking old man over here now. Anyway, yeah, so then the bride just cuts like a wicked promo on her about like.
But it doesn't move the story along, so it doesn't matter. It
doesn't. Well, I'm going to sum it up real quick. Should she marry for a guy that wants to shake her hand, or a guy that kisses her passionately, but she'll be poor. That's the choices. So
being a woman, man, nowadays has got to be just brutal.
Yeah,
I think probably any day.
You fucking got it tough. I think historically always has been difficult. But I get what you're saying. You know, just like, do I marry this fucking loser and I'd be loser happy and poor?
Yeah.
I'd be kind of unhappy and just, you know, pad my tears with dollar bills, you know, like, boop, 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 boop. I mean, if I could marry rich, I would.
Oh, just in a heartbeat, man.
Just saying, like, that'd be good.
So anyway. Any sugar mamas out there on a mediocre podcaster?
Like, I'm a fan.
No further.
Gets me through my rough days alone.
I mean, we barely pull these off. I mean, life is so hard. It's hard to even watch a movie and talk about it. I can't imagine being a sugar mama. All the riffraff you're fucking just thumbing through, just looking for a
beating through. Just get the fuck off of me, you fucking. I don't care how many abs you have. Show me that you're responsible with my checkbook.
Yeah, I mean,
I am not.
I'll let you throw bologna on me. Whatever you're into. Just whatever
that's
gets
a weird
me out.
One. That's
whatever gets me from working.
Are sugar mamas into throwing bologna on
whatever, man.
Are you like asleep during this? And this
if
is just
she's like take your shirt off. I'm watching my show and I just want to throw some cut bologna on your chest, and I'd be like, yeah, okay.
I mean, I would say it depends on the show. Like, I don't want to have to listen to garbage while having garbage.
Oh, dude, I'm playing. So. I'm singing my own song in my head as the bologna slaps my body.
See, this is why I'm not going to make it as a gold digger. You know,
I'm a boy toy in this scenario. I'm not.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't make it.
The gold has been dug.
So. Well, I mean,
yeah, man. Whatever, you just let me know, guys.
Mad respect, ladies. Anyone that can do that. I'd be like, this isn't for me. I gotta go. I threw away something good to figure out that I don't want this.
Everybody's like, why is this guy anti-bologna still here?
Boo. Yeah, fuck you. I want to get bologna thrown on me. Put it in my mouth.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it will. It'll be all over your mouth.
Whatever my mistress ma'am is into. Except for like what Meatloaf said. I won't do that.
But anyway, back to our bride cutting a promo. And so Savi tells her, go with the reliable guy. Because otherwise you're going to be chasing that loser deadbeat all your life, which is what she's doing. It's kind of
boom. That's like, some sister action, yeah. There. She was like, don't fall for the losers.
Yeah, you don't want that. You know, it's real rough. Like my knee's blown out. I'm running on it so hard right now. It's fucking... Like, why do I have sports tape on? That accident, I assume, was years ago. But
that probably bothers her all the time. She's got the KT tape on. And
she well, I mean, that's like, why she started taking the old man painkillers. Which, why was he on painkillers? He was just mutant in a chair, I guess. Like,
I don't know. The best character in the movie.
He was. He had a great look. I was like, please put him in more. So, give him a spinoff. Just old man in a wheelchair staring. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
So... But, yeah, and then so the cab driver hears this. He falls from the balcony as he watches the woman he loves kiss the man she's about to marry as he tries to shake her hand once again. Just a real, real dumbass, this guy. And then she's off again, back to the jewelry store where I believe the idiot boyfriend manages to successfully rob the store on his own this time.
I think he does the first time, if I remember correctly.
He does the first time, too, but like this, but she shows up and kind of saves his ass in the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, I think he just managed to do it on his own. And then they get away, and they go to the same tunnel. And like, if I had just seen him smoked in that tunnel the last time, I'd be like, we need to hit up a different area. Like, this is a bad location.
Yeah, I didn't understand, like... Where I felt like she knew what was going on at times or could correlate some stuff, but then she just stayed on the same.
Yeah.
Like, she's recalling stuff, right? Because the third time they loop, she's like, hey, don't go in there. You're never going to find the bus. Go over here. It's this and this. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. But Cabbie shows up and he's just like, I was going to blow my brains out over there, but since you're here, let me just put one in you. And she's like, hey, killing me is not going to make her marry you. And he's like, hey, who said anything about killing you? Boom. Boyfriend takes another one to the chest.
Yeah. Catch the
and actually, we started talking about sugar mamas at this point, and I forgot to talk about the part I liked. So in between the three loops, there's a scene where, and again, I feel like it's the best scene, especially for the idiot boyfriend, because he's telling a story, just kind of like a take it as a folk tale, you know, it's like from their culture about a woman and a man that fall in love, but the man only has a year left to live. And so she marries him anyways because she's in love. And that's kind of mm-hmm. like, and then he dies a year later, and exactly as predicted. And then that's when our second loop kicks in. And I was like, oh, okay, you got me. That was actually really good. Yeah. He's very dynamic and charming when telling the story. And she's very much like, she's just like a different version of herself. Like you can see it. That was the only time I felt like they were actually in a relationship.
Yeah, so, like I don't think they're bad actors either.
Not at all. Yeah.
They're super competent into what's going on. It's just the...
I just feel like their chemistry is really on in that scene.
Yeah.
And so then after the second loop, we finish the story of and the gist is basically that she tricks the god of death into extending her husband's life by asking for longevity for their children that they don't have yet. So, you know, and it just kind of all ties into, like, you know, she's pregnant. She's going to try to, you know, loop, get him out of the loop so he has an extended life, et cetera, et cetera. And so in our final loop, she has to acknowledge karma, essentially, and do things right. She has to Groundhog's Day it. She has to catch the plant. She has to, you know, talk to the uncle, as they call him, nicely before she leaves and everything. And then he helps her. He reminds her to tie her shoe, the thing that killed her, her knee to begin with. And then she has to do everything right. So she doesn't piss off anyone. She goes to the cabbie. She's like, let's go get her back for you. You know, like, let's do it. Go up to her and tell her this and you'll get her back. And so he drives, and then, like, they don't crash into the bus this time. And she doesn't have to tangle with the cop, but we still have to see the cop just as many fucking times. Yeah, man,
he won't go away.
He won't go away. And the boyfriend still doesn't listen, even though she says, do not go anywhere near the jewelry store. He goes in with the ring out for some reason. The thing that I didn't even notice until, like, midway through in the second loop, that he had this fucking ring that he proposed to her. And then the guy sees the ring and he's like, I know you. I remember you. I have a killer fucking memory, apparently. I know handwriting, names, fucking date, time, locations.
Yeah, I was like, you should be like a fucking work for Interpol, because what are you doing?
Like, seriously. So he's like, I will make you a deal. Fucking rob me. The insurance money will make me richer. Okay, you just tell me how much you need, and then you give me back the rest later.
Five.
And so, yeah, he's like, five. We do the five. What? Five fucking million. Five.
$5 million. Foot long.
Five dollar foot long. Perfect. That's not how the song goes.
But. It was literally perfect.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. And he's like, okay, deal. Everything's good. He doesn't get greedy. He doesn't try to ask for more. He just wants enough to cover his ass and give it to his boss to not die. So everything's fine until the idiot son show up and try to do a kidnapping. The guy double crosses him. But our idiot boyfriend, for once in his fucking life, I'm just going to finish this storyline real quick, Kevin, takes the bullets out of the guy's gun because he's just like, I feel like you're going to double cross me. He's right. He does try to double cross him. He puts the gun in the bag and walks out.
Made me upset, Dustin, because the boyfriend's out of character, outthinking his situation. Oh, yeah. I was like, what? All of a sudden, the boyfriend's a step ahead of the game? And who is a revolver just sitting there? Like,
it's not even... Yeah, it's just... I mean, that gun teleported so goddamn much anyways, the revolver. I was like, oh, my God. Meanwhile, she, you know, she ends up at the wedding. She takes him up to see him. She swaps and becomes the bride for some fucking, basically to steal money, because she sees, like, the wedding envelopes that everyone's putting cash in.
Yeah, the wedding gifts, yeah.
Yeah, that we've teased for two fucking loops for some fucking reason. And she goes, I don't want to get married today. She goes, she steals the money. She's running as a bride, and she goes to a fucking casino. And there we go. She wins. Then we get our Run Lola Run cameo with a body double. Some horrible pants that they tried to. I was like, okay. I was like, are those sweatpants? They just put her in sweatpants. I didn't really like the cameo part. I felt it was really unnecessary and stupid. It was just like, why did you do this?
I'm not gonna lie, it startled me because I didn't really know they were all in on the remake of, hey, this is this is. So I looked, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I literally,
that it's was so waka waka.
That was the one thing that got the most emotion out of me, because I do remember it from the original.
Yeah.
And I remember just the high-pitched scream thing she always did. That was one thing I didn't like. But if she does the scream when she wins the money, and then...
Yeah, I like that change. I will say that it wasn't the, like, ah! And everyone's, like, going deaf, like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah. And when they did that, I was like, what? Like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I said, what the fuck? That was really the only thing that triggered me in the movie to have a reaction. So I guess it was great on that sense.
But it's like, we got it. We did one thing successfully, at least, with this guy.
Yeah, it just... That's the one part that did move me. It was that.
Yeah. Yeah, so she wins the money. So now we're, you know, we win the money. She's trying to run back. Her boyfriend, as she's read the text of him going into the jewelry store, and she's pissed. She runs into the cabbie with the one runaway bride in it, and they agree to drop her off. And that's when he's coming out and pretending to be a civilian. And he's like, they got guns in there. And these, you know, we've already established the cops are idiots. We've already
And that's another smart thing he did. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's suddenly.
Whereas, I was like, how's he gonna get out of this?
The boyfriend wasn't an idiot. He just kept getting, it's like the decisions he kept making were like worse. You know, like the first loop of his, it was really bad. Second loop, really bad. And then the third one, he just stopped doing bad decisions. He's just, he had more patience, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's why he survived, just with patience. But this guy's like literally just like rewriting his entire intelligence storyline.
Is it just almost a different character?
Yeah. And so they run away together. And I will say, out of all the movie, the third loop is the most successful because it just it hits all those right notes, because it's just taking it right from Run, Lola, Run. And the third loop in Run, Lola, Run is the most successful too, because, you know, the first one introduces the idea and you're like, all right, this is interesting. Second one's boring as shit because you're just like, all right, I know this isn't going to be successful. And the third one is just like, okay, how do you wrap this up neatly?
Right.
You know, and so the same thing's happening here. So she patched things up with her dad. She gets the ring from him to propose to Satya. So she like pulls him and brings him in for a kiss as they're running. And they smack their faces together hard from the looks of the slow motion. And then she's just like, marry me. And she puts a ring on him. And you're just like, oh, okay, great little twist here. You know, she's the one that didn't want to get married. And then now she's decided, I want to get married. But and then fucking
Victor,
yeah,
boyfriend's boss is just cruising the streets. I don't know. And then a butterfly flies and he just screams bloody murder.
Yeah, he's just like, fucking see me, butterfly.
I was like, dude, it's not like a tarantula or a reaction. It's not a killer like wasp or something.
You know, and I don't mean to, I'm not trying to be culturally insensitive or anything, but would a culture that doesn't eat meat have bullhorns on their car? Or like doesn't eat beef? Would they have a bullhorn on their car? Doesn't that seem like?
I don't know. I think the car was just pimped out.
Yeah, with horns though, bull horns.
No, I know. Yeah,
like
I don't
fake
know.
Ones, but still, it just seemed like, that seems. Yeah,
it might be like anything else. Some people don't give a shit.
I guess, you know. And then he's just like, "Hey, you got my money? Okay, cool. Here's your cut." So they're like, "Hey, we got money and more money."
See you on the next job.
Yeah, he's like, keep the fucking gun. And then he just has a look of like, nah, we're good. We're good. And then we're getting out of here. It's a happy ending. Everything's good. They got extra money, whatever. And then we have to
look across the street, Dustin. We see the guy that stole the original bag from the bus.
And the first thing he did is went and get a fucking tailored suit.
Well, I guess.
And what the fuck?
Listen, if I found a sack of about five on the bus.
$5.
I'm leaving the area immediately I'm keeping it. Like, I'm probably leaving the city and or state.
I bought a plane ticket for that afternoon and I'm gone because they're going to assume that I'm waiting a day to leave. And I'm going to be gone.
No, you don't know me. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Or I'm on a cruise ship, whatever I got to do.
Oh, cruising hard.
I guess I would definitely just be on a cruise ship. I'm like, yeah, you checking me out at the airport? I'm on a fucking boat in the ocean. Come get me, motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
First port I hit, I'm gone. That's it. So, yeah. And so then he chases him. He's like, hey. And I get it. You know, he's pissed that he stole the money from, caused this whole problem in a way. But he also did smoke his entire blunt. Like, all of it. You know, he's like, let me get a hit. And then was just like, I'm never giving it back.
And that's what I was thinking. It's just, this character is an idiot. And I was like, I don't know.
And the weird slow-mo pose they did at the end, where he was the only one falling and everyone else was posed. And, like, they weren't actually frozen, but he was still moving. I was like, what the fuck? The lazy shit is this?
Yeah, I didn't. I think that was just supposed to be the
again. It tried to be like funny, and then she's like, another loop, and I was like, oh my god.
No, you don't.
I didn't like that. It was unnecessary. Like, I would have liked if they had just frozen them like that, but they, you know, to have him still moving, you know, and shit. I was just like, no, this is dumb.
Movies, and then not just this movie, but we gotta just really stop teasing more at the end of a movie. Like the after credits, I can't take it anymore. It sucks. It sucks. I hate it. And like, I guess I'm okay with you kind of going to give me a ending of like, all right, I get it. This chapter or this story is done. If it does well, you got the nuts to make more.
But what are you doing, like, for a second one of this?
The same thing. That's all you're going to do. But again, with a movie like this, it doesn't need to be an ongoing trilogy. Not all these movies need to be sequels and prequels and long running just endeavors. Like, I just want to see a movie, and I don't need to
plan
my life around the fucking future ones.
Yeah, like in your shared universe shit. We all assume like before, when no one knew and it was still like, oh, I don't know, there's ever going to be another one of these. Fine, I got it then. But now it's like, no, we know there's going to be more. It's the only thing making money.
Yeah, like, when you plan to make one, and you're not even planning to make one. You're planning to make multiple ones, and
yeah, you're, I don't know. It really doesn't tank. So that all the plans for the future ones, yeah, like that's all you're doing. So, and we don't need teasing. Like, yeah, this cheekiness was just like,
I mean, I guess it just is this kind of just a fun haha moment. It does fit the movie. It fits it, right?
It
just
made me sadly.
It fits it, and it's not a mark against this movie, but it's just, it made me think of the other things that triggered my annoyance of just modern cinema, where they're just always like, hey, there might be seven more. I'm like, I don't know. I don't need any more.
Yeah.
One was good. I'm good now.
And I know it probably feels like we didn't do our normal podcast. There's just not really much, like, I could go scene by scene on this, but it's just, nothing happens, you know, like nothing's really, because it is a running movie. So when they do stop to do dialogue, it's kind of needless, pointless, and we're just on to the next scene, you know? And then we do it again, and then we do it again. And you're just like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the only parts I liked were the rooftop parts, and then, like I said, I'm going to call it the clock flip, you know, scene with the bed, with them in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then him telling that story to her, you know, like
there's aspects of the way the movie's presented that I really enjoyed. I like the use of color. I like the way they shot a lot of the stuff. I really kind of was engaged with it until they get to his boss, Victor, or whatever. And he over explains everything. And then he's off. And then he's like, oh, I lost the money. And then I was just like, dude, like, what are you doing? And then I knew it was going to kick in. But once that first sequence ended, you're right. The middle part was just too muddled, and it just drops the movie's pacing to a crawl, because you do know we have to have another FUBAR before we get to the third run, which will be the successful one. And that's the hardest part, is to make that interesting. So they did try to expand the characters. You see the relationship with the father being kind of rocky, and, you know, that was the really only thing you get. If they would have focused more on that dynamic, I kind of would have been happy. Or that triangle of, you don't like my boyfriend and I need this, and you've put this pressure on me. I don't like your boyfriend. And the dad's like, whoa, too. Lose the jewelry store owner son's like Waka Waka stuff. And I would have just preferred the middle act, that. And if you really want to, their second act or whatever, that. And if you really wanted to dig deep, go to the taxi guy, because if he's this pivotal part where we're at that location so much, that should be important, because the jewelry store is more like a catalyst to me of like, it's just a MacGuffin. It's just something they need.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? It's the characters need this thing to go to this next thing. I don't need to know about the owner, and like, yeah, he can try to screw them over with an insurance fraud to create tension. But I don't need the sons in there playing fuck around.
No, because it you just nailed it. Like, because, okay, the cabbie was just use him, right? You use him, he wants to get money to support her. So he's the third robber. You don't need the sons to come in.
That would have put more depth.
Robbing. Yeah, exactly. And like, and given him more of a sense of purpose to the story. Like, the sons, they don't learn anything. They don't do anything. It's like, and they get smarter in the third loop suddenly all of a sudden, too. Whereas, like, they've already made the same mistakes twice.
They're, like, holding up signs like it's a gimmick so they don't recognize the voice. It's like, what are you doing? Why don't you just go in there and club them? Just bop them in the back of the head and then take it, and then you're out. Like, you're not going to hurt them.
Run up to the counter and say, put your hands on your head, put your hands on the head. And then just
put a sack over his head and just restrain him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or just plan it a little bit better, like when you were cleaning.
Or just not be the boobs. Fucking place. They're just a bunch of boobs.
Unplug your cameras. You know, they're just they're total boobs. So
I don't know. It's just that a lot of the film's runtime is misused to keep it.
The first loop is so long. It's an entire movie on its own.
Yeah, like,
you could just end the movie there. It's an hour. It feels like three already.
Yeah, it's tough. I wish they just made different decisions to keep tensions high, to keep the pace brisk instead of these lulls. Tighten up on the characters, cut 30 minutes, and you would probably had something where, all right, cool. Like the second loop, or even beginning of the third loop, I would say the second one, you could have put multiple restarts. Like, if you redo this movie now, or the run concept now, you can make it like a video game aspect. I think someone's probably already done this, where he keeps dying. He keeps like, like real Dark Soul status, like get good, And that's kind of what it reminded me of in that sense of like, oh, someone's probably already done it. Just something to keep it moving tight and, what are the consequences, keep them.
Yeah.
Something engaging about it.
I mean, to me, like, if I was redoing either of these two movies, I think you have to get through your first loop quickly. You know, the second one has to be where the bulk of your interest and kind of story threading is happening, because otherwise there's no point in watching.
Well, because that's loop. How you rectify. How do I rectify the first error, the first loop? I have to do these things. Does it work? Does it not? You kind of experiment and trial, but you're still beating a clock.
Yeah, and then your third loop is just, I've learned from everything. I'm going to groundhog
perfect run. You're a speed runner,
Exactly. I mean, because that's basically what it is. It's a speed run. So
I know. This movie frustrated me so much in those aspects. It's like, I don't even know if I like Run Lolo Run anymore. I'm too scared to even watch it now, because I think if I watch it now, I'll be like, oh, Jesus Christ.
That's why I have no intention of watching it. There's a reason I have not watched this movie since I watched this movie, And I think it's just, it is a product of its time. I think it's a movie, Run Lolo Run, that is a movie everyone should watch once, for sure. Like, I think even if it feels dated watching it now, it's worth watching once, but it's not really a movie that you watch again. It's kind of like Memento at the same, came around the same time. It's just, once you know the gimmick and you've experienced it once, there's really not a whole lot of replay value there. So Loop Lupita with two O's. Damn it.
I give it 3 O's and I go ahead and pass. It's a pass. Like, it's on Netflix. I don't watch. If you're going to watch anything, watch Run Lola Run. Don't watch this one. Unless you're morbidly curious, unless you love Run Lola Run so much you just can't get enough, then you're kind of on your own on that one.
Yeah. It's weird because it's like, I don't necessarily hate the movie, but it's hard to watch. And if you haven't seen Run Lola Run and you have no plans to watch it, by all means, go for this. Or if you're just really into, like Bollywood Hindi cinema, then love go the for actors. It, because it sucks, because I do actually like the actors. I do like the way it's shot. I just feel like it needed a better director to elevate the story in a way that was like more rewarding and stuff. And I almost feel like there's a lot of wasted talent in this movie. So, and then some talent that doesn't need to be in this movie, like the fucking cop, who sucked at acting, sucked at copping. He just was a big suck on the film.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a pass ultimately for me, though. I can't.
Yeah, agreed.
Fully recommend it, unfortunately. And that will do it for us here at Let's Movie. You can find us on social media, where we encourage you to give us suggestions or just say hi or give us your feedback on an episode. You know, did you like the runtime of this podcast because it felt better with your schedule? Or do you like it when we go as long as the fucking movie railing the movie? We'd like this information. Subscribe, share it with a friend. You can listen a week later on YouTube. And that is it for us. I'm Kevin. No, I'm not. God damn it. I built it up in my head.
Good night, everyone.
I'm Dustin. He's Kevin. Take us away, Kevin. Damn it.
I was going to say something about five, but everyone just sighed collectively.
I'm just overthinking it in my head. Say something about five. Do it.
Five and three O's.